Greetings, everyone. Good to see you on this Sabbath morning. Well, in less than 2 weeks, we'll be celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. And everything that that glorious holy day portrays, it has several meanings to us. Very beautiful day, first day of the seventh month. And one of the many exciting events to happen after the return of Jesus Christ and after His kingdom has begun to be established on this earth is the gathering back together of physical Israel into one united people. Prior to Christ's return, the descendants of Jacob will have witnessed and have gone through great devastation on the earth. They will have been scattered into many nations as a remnant people and made captive by their enemies. After Christ returns, it will be a time for those survivors to be identified as part of the house of Israel, houses of Israel and Judah, and be comforted in their captivity and cared for and brought back by God who truly loves them. God will provide a rescue of His scattered people by gathering His remnant and bringing them back to their homeland of Israel. I want to talk this morning about this special event that's ahead of us that will directly affect us to some degree. It will affect our nation, and it will affect all others who are part of the 12 tribes of Israel. And in addition to this regathering that I'm going to speak about, I want to also speak of the king and the shepherd that will rule over the assembled remnant that God brings back. I've entitled this message, "The Remnant and King to Come." The Remnant and King to Come. Now, I'm assuming most of us here have a foundation in this knowledge of a remnant of God. And if you're new to the church, then you may have to do some extra study to get yourself up to speed, you might say, on some of this. So I'm assuming there's some level of understanding of this. But when this regathering actually begins, all of us here, truly converted and with God's Spirit, hope to be spirit beings, already changed over and given life eternal at the return of Jesus Christ. And we, then, as spirit servants of God, may well be given a part to play in assisting Christ in bringing back these scattered physical survivors of Israel to their ancient homeland. These survivors will have previously been dispersed and made captive by their enemies, all allowed by God because of their disobedience. It happened in the past, it will happen again in the future because of blatant disobedience. And if we live physically long enough in this life, we will witness physically this downfall and this confinement of the tribes of modern Jacob. We will see it happen if we live long enough. We don't know when exactly that year will be. The Bible doesn't tell us particularly all the details of how this is going to come about. It just says that it will come to pass. God wants us to live by faith. And faith is believing what the Scriptures say. So let's look at some Scriptures. Quite a few Scriptures in my short time here that I've got to speak. We're going to take a glimpse of this event that's coming ahead of us. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 16. We're going to flip back and forth between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 10. Verse 10. And it shall be, when you show this people all these words, and they say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this great disaster against us? Why? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Now, doesn't that sound just like today? People typically today have no idea what sin is in God's eyes. They go about defining their own rules for sin, what they think is right in their own eyes. They don't know what sin is. Verse 11, then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord, they have walked after other gods and have served them and worshiped them and have forsaken me and not kept my law. Today, people would not link law and sin together. Verse 12, and you, now this is bringing it up to today, to us. You have done worse than your fathers. For behold, each of you followed the dictates of his own evil heart, so that no one listens to me. No one cares about God. All the great institutions of the world could care less about Scripture, about what God says. Verse 13, therefore I will cast you out of this land into a land that you do not know, neither you nor your fathers, and there you shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Now, let me ask, has this casting out by God already happened? What's the timing of all this, casting out? Going on, verse 14. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. That won't be said anymore. It will be overshadowed by another event, a second Exodus. And this is what is referred to in verse 15 here. 15, but this is what will be said and remembered. The Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had been driven. He had driven them. For I will bring them back into their land, which I gave to their fathers. So we see here an end-time dispersion of Israel and a later regathering of them from foreign lands. Now, some may argue that these verses are already fulfilled, referring to maybe the Jewish return to their homeland from Babylonian captivity. Or maybe some other return to Palestine. But verse 14 is a key verse that we just read. Verse 14 makes plain that this return would cause Israel to forget their exodus from Egypt under Moses. They will forget that because it won't be relevant anymore. Now, has that happened today? No. The Jews still link today. They still speak of Moses' delivery from Egypt. That's in their memory. It's not some delivery from the land of the north. That hasn't happened yet. There'll be a second recovery of all of Israel and not just the Jews. Now let's go to Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 6. Again, we're going to be jumping back and forth between Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 6. Verse 6, in all your dwelling places, the city shall be laid waste, and the high places, these are the worship places, shall be desolate, so that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate. Your idols, you know, our idols are the things that we devote ourselves to. They can be anything that we spend our time mostly on, may be broken and made to cease. Your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. Verse 7, the slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. There'll be mass destruction everywhere. Verse 8, yet I will leave a remnant, so that you may have some escape the sword among the nations. Many will die, but some will escape and be a remnant. When you are scattered through the countries, then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are carried captive, because I was crushed. God was broken by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me, and by their eyes, which play the harlot after their idols. All this unfaithfulness hurt God, and they will loathe themselves for the evils which they committed and all their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would bring this calamity upon them. God's just not blabbing off here. He means what he says. This will happen. Now, all of this destruction and waste and a remnant left by God speaks again to a time yet ahead of us. These verses of Ezekiel were written some 130 years after the ancient house of Israel was taken captivity by the Assyrians. These verses were not written to them. For that time, at that captivity, but for a later time, a later house of Israel would come to suffer a similar destruction, a greater destruction. Let's go back to Jeremiah now. Jeremiah chapter 32, 37. We'll see God starting to bring people out now. Verse 37, behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, in great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Verse 39. Then I will give them one heart and one way. Another translation says, I will give them a single purpose in life, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And I, verse 40, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good. Here, God is doing good to a people that turned their back and broke God's heart, in a sense, by all of their idolatry and unfaithfulness. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. Thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will bring on them all the good that I have promised them. Now God rejoices and is very happy in giving good to his children. Ezekiel chapter 36. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 36. verse 24. For I will take you, verse 24, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be made clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. So we see here God beginning to spiritually clean up his people. Verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses. God will forgive. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. They had come out of a lot of famine and disease. Verse 31, then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe and detest yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. So the people will begin to truly repent. That's a good description there of true, sincere repentance. You begin to loathe yourself and detest all that you've done in front of God. Now, has all of this happened yet to all the tribes of Jacob in mass? No. No, this gathering from the nations is speaking of a time to come. God hasn't changed the heart of all of Israel today. Only a very, very few of Israel today have been invited to clean themselves up and have been given God's Spirit. Only a very few have come to understand the fullness of God's mercy and forgiveness and grace. Only his church today understands. Those are the few that have been given an invitation to clean themselves up today. This is a time yet to happen. Truth and salvation will come in a much wider scale when Jacob is gathered back and cleaned up in God's kingdom. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 21. Verse 21. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king over them all. There shall no longer be two nations. Nor shall they ever be divided into two nations, two kingdoms again. Verse 23. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. David, verse 24, David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they shall all have one shepherd, one ruler. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Is Israel following the statutes today? No. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob my servant, where your fathers dwelt. And they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. You know, that's a beautiful scripture there. To see David, once again, king over a united people, not a divided people. You know, the Christian world out here struggles to understand this future David being king, being shepherd over Israel. What does this mean? You know, they cannot envision a government. They can't envision God's kingdom containing physical people being ruled over in love by spirit beings, by a resurrected David and other saints. And we hope individually, those of us converted today, to be spirit at this time, and having a position of responsibility of teaching others God's way. We will be there with David as servants and assistants. Verse 26. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God. They shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel, where my sanctuary is in their midst forever. You know, at this time, all nations will come to know who God's people, Israel, truly are. Today, they only look at one of the tribes and say, I guess that's God's people of the Bible. No longer will they view all the English-speaking peoples as Gentiles. They will know then who the 12 tribes are without any doubt. God will put his presence with them. Let's go back three chapters to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23. Verse 23, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. It will come to pass. Again, we may not know how all those details are going to work out, but God has spoken. You know, David will be resurrected at the same time that we hope to be. David will be given his reward of once again being a shepherd and prince over God's people, Israel. Glorious time to look ahead. It should motivate us to be there. In these verses, we see a physical Israel gathered back to their homeland, being cleaned up spiritually by God, and led and guided by Christ, and by David, and by us too. Are we prepared to be shepherds also over Israel? Well, let's note a scripture in Jeremiah. Let's note Jeremiah 23, verse 3. Because that's implied here. We will be shepherds too, those that endure to the end. Verse 3. Jeremiah 23:3, but I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds, plural, over them, who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. So these shepherds may in part be us, changed to spirit at that time, feeding and guiding these remnant people who've been gathered back. For sure, some of these future shepherds will be the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. We can see that in Matthew 19. You don't really need to turn there, but Matthew 19, verse 28, I'll read it. So Jesus said to them, he's speaking to his 12, to the 12 disciples, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, in the new world to come, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So, if we put these scriptures together, we begin to see a little insight into the structure of God's kingdom. We see Christ on his throne of glory over all the earth, the King of Kings. We see David as the prime shepherd and king over all of Israel. We see the 12 apostles over the 12 tribes of Israel under David. And then we have us, other shepherds, with authority over cities, maybe 10 cities, maybe 5 cities. That's revealed to us in the parable of the talents and the minas in Luke chapter 19, verse 12. I won't go there. I think we all know those verses. But our reward for overcoming and growing and increasing our personal spiritual fruit, growing, putting to business our minas, our talents, our reward in all of that is having authority over cities. Some 10, some 5, some may not have any. But we're all in training now to be servants in God's kingdom when Christ returns. So let's start winding this down now. Let's go to Isaiah. We haven't touched on Isaiah yet. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11. I want you to catch this vision, this big event that's going to happen, and our part in it should inspire us, lift us up. There is hope for not only this world, our nation, for the 12 tribes today, this world. There is ultimate hope and salvation for all. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time, a second exodus, to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria, the first to be mentioned, and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and the islands of the sea. Physical Israel will be scattered into these lands, or where the ancient people of these lands exist today. Traditionally, we have viewed Assyria as the Germanic peoples of today. Time will tell on that. God knows who the enemies of Israel will be. And regardless of where the remnant will all be located, prophecy is plain, a regathering will occur. It will happen. We're to live by faith and not by sight. We can't always look at the news and say, well, that's never going to happen, or this is going to happen. We don't know for sure all the details. Verse 12. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. all over the globe, God's people, Israel, will be scattered, and they will be brought back. Down to verse 16. Verse 16, there will be a highway for the remnant of his people who will be left from Assyria, as it was for Israel in the day that he came up from the land of Egypt. So there we're dealing with the first Exodus, the second Exodus. The first from Egypt, the second from Assyria. Last scripture, Isaiah chapter 27. Isaiah 27, verse 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river to the brook of Egypt. And you, speaking to Israel, will be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. Verse 13, so it shall be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown. So this gives us a definite time setting. The trumpet will be blown, return of Christ, and they will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, finally freed from their captives now. And they who are outcasts in the land of Egypt and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount of Jerusalem. So, we've got exciting times ahead of us, don't we? Exciting times. A lot has yet to happen as to prophecy. We too, one day, will worship at Jerusalem when we are changed over at the return of Christ, when the great trumpet will be blown. The time of Jacob's trouble is coming. Physical Israel will be scattered, yet a remnant will be saved and restored to their homeland. How all of this will happen, only God knows. Sometimes we can see an inkling of this and that, but God will bring it about. And He'll bring it about when His timetable says so. For now, God wants us to live by faith. So let's do that. Let's increase our faith and live by faith by redeeming the time and enduring to the very, very end so that we can be raised up at the last trumpet and worship also with Israel in Jerusalem.